In the closing verses of the 8th chapter of his letter to the Romans, we hear the Apostle Paul building to a spiritual crescendo that begins with a provocative question. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Now, Paul has just answered an earlier and equally provocative question when he said, if God is for us, who can be against us? And the answer to that question leads him to ask, by way of follow-up, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? What St. Paul is addressing specifically with this question and his subsequent answer was the existence of a host of powerful forces that were arrayed against the early church. In the years following Jesus' ascension and the descent of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, the church experienced growing persecution at the hands of the Jewish religious leaders, especially in Jerusalem and in the surrounding Judea. Paul knew this only too well, since he himself had been one of the chief persecutors of the church until his dramatic conversion on the road to Damascus. But Paul was writing this particular epistle, the letter to the Romans, to the beleaguered Christians of Rome at the time of the reign of the emperor Nero. Nero was historically the one who first initiated what would turn out to be 2.5 centuries of persecution of the church by the Roman Empire. During that time, you know that Christians were routinely put to death for the faith, by the sword or by crucifixion or by being thrown to the lions and other wild animals in the Colosseum. The Emperor Nero himself was so sadistic in his persecution of the early church that history records the incident where he had hundreds of Christians, men, women, and children, rounded up, tied to wooden posts, covered with pitch, and set afire as human torches to illuminate his gardens at night. St. Peter was ultimately crucified and St. Paul beheaded in Rome under Nero just a few years after Paul wrote this epistle. All of the might of the most powerful empire on earth at the time stood in opposition of the fledgling New Testament church seeking to snuff it out. And so it is no casual rhetorical question that Paul is posing when he asks, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Because the tribulation, the distress, the persecution, the famine, the nakedness, the peril, and the sword were all calculated, it would not be an exaggeration to say demonically inspired to do just that. Namely, to separate Christians from the love of Christ by causing them to forsake and renounce their faith in Jesus. As you read the various accounts of the deaths of the martyrs of those early centuries of the church, and I hope that you do from time to time, one of the things that you routinely read as the believers are threatened with death by most painful means is the demands of their persecutors that they denounce Christ by worshiping the false Roman gods, including the emperor himself, whom they believed to be immortal. And so Paul was exhorting the Roman Christians to remain faithful to Christ, even in the face of all that hardship. They did. The church prevailed, and not only survived, but thrived, and ultimately witnessed the demise of the very empire that once sought to destroy it. Many centuries later, in the years following the end of the Second World War, an advisor to Joseph Stalin, the murderous premier of the Soviet Union, reported to Stalin that Pope Pius XII was publicly objecting to the brutal suppression of the people of those Eastern European nations that were under Soviet domination. Stalin contemptuously replied, "And how many divisions does the Pope have?" Referring, of course, to military divisions. Just 40 years after Stalin's arrogant question, the Soviet Union collapsed and was swept into the dustbin of history, largely because of the spiritual leadership of one of Pius XII's successors, Pope St. John Paul II, as well as the political leadership of President Ronald Reagan and British Prime Minister Margaret Thatcher. And the Church of Jesus Christ, which has no military might, not even a single one of the kind of divisions which Stalin had referred to, continues on unabated to this day, because neither the world nor the gates of hell will prevail against the church. But more importantly, nothing which the world or the gates of hell can bring to bear against God's people will separate us, St. Paul says, from the love of Christ. None of those things, tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword, none of them can come between us and the love of our Lord. Today there is a tsunami of persecution washing over our Christian brothers and sisters throughout the Mideast and parts of Africa and in China and North Korea, specifically because those Christians will not denounce our Lord. But no power, no force outside of us, no matter how great or seemingly overwhelming, can drive a wedge or create a distance between us and the God who loves us. No, St. Paul says, through all the things that come against us, and in spite of them, notice what he says, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us, and I would add, loves us. I like the Greek word that Paul used in the original version of Romans, which we translate with the phrase, more than conquerors. The Greek word is hupernikomen. Hupernikomen, literally meaning super victors. Super victors, more than conquerors. Why? Because we're so powerful or influential or smart or resourceful? No. We are more than conquerors, mark it, through him who loved us. In Luke 10:19, Jesus said, "Behold, I give you power over all the power of the enemy." Did you hear that? "Behold, I give you power over all the power of the enemy." In other words, we are more than conquerors. We do have authority over all the power of the enemy, but only because it has been imparted to us by our Lord himself. We have no such power on our own, but only that which is given by reason of our incorporation into Christ Jesus. Notice also that Paul says it is in all these things, hardship and persecution and the like, in them that we are conquerors, not from them. Jesus told us clearly, "In this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world." In Isaiah 43:2, we read this, "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you." There's a striking image in the book of Revelation that calls to mind exactly what St. Paul is referring to in his exhortation about being more than conquerors through him who loved us. It's in Revelation chapter 12, verses 10 and 11. Here's what we read. Quote, "And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren has been thrown down, who accuses them day and night before our God. And they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, for they loved not their lives even unto death." They. Who are they that is spoken of in this passage from Revelation? They are the our brethren of verse 10. That is all believers, all Christians, including you and me. They conquered him. Who did they conquer? Satan. How? Listen carefully. How did they do this? By the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Now, it's no accident that St. Paul says specifically in Romans 8:37 that we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. What is the supreme sign, the supreme evidence of that love? It is Jesus' blood poured out on the cross, the blood of the Lamb. Again, Revelation 12:11, they conquered him by the blood of the Lamb. Think about it, brothers and sisters. Think about it. The most powerful substance in the universe isn't plutonium or uranium or rocket fuel or anything else that you can name. The most powerful substance in the universe is the blood of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. How powerful is it? Powerful enough that it defeated all the hosts of hell. It freed mankind from sin and death and Satan. It made peace between us and God. It unlocked the gates of heaven. Jesus said, whoever drinks it has eternal life. Something you and I have the awesome privilege of doing today and at every Mass. The blood of Jesus has been saving, delivering, healing, and sanctifying untold millions of human beings for 2,000 years. Do you know any other substance that has that kind of power? I don't. And so the book of Revelation can declare, they conquered him by the blood of the Lamb. But not only by the blood of the Lamb, but also, it says, by the word of their testimony. What testimony is that? The most powerful testimony that human beings can utter, that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. A testimony that has been repeated over and over again throughout the history of the church by those same untold millions of believers in the Lamb. In the time of the Roman persecution, saying the words, Jesus is Lord, was considered an act of sedition that sent countless Christians to a cruel death, because the requirement of the day was that the people of the Roman Empire profess Caesar is Lord. But no, Jesus is Lord. In spite of tribulation, Jesus is Lord. In spite of distress, Jesus is Lord. In spite of persecution, Jesus is Lord. In spite of famine and nakedness and peril and sword, Jesus is Lord. In your own life, when sickness threatens, Jesus is Lord. When the world ridicules or marginalizes you, Jesus is Lord. When worry and anxiety and depression try to rob you of your peace and your joy, Jesus is Lord. When the threat of financial ruin stands at your door, Jesus is Lord. When a pandemic strikes fear into your heart, Jesus is Lord. When chaos and anarchy threatens to tear apart the very fabric of our society, Jesus is Lord. And when you breathe your last earthly breath and close your eyes in death, Jesus is Lord. Brothers and sisters, the most powerful substance in the universe combines with the most powerful testimony in heaven and on earth to make us more than conquerors through Him who loved us. It was Jesus' love for us that sent Him to the cross. It is Jesus' love for us, shed abroad in our hearts, that constrains us, impels us to stand faithfully for Him no matter what, and to testify of His great love. And the result? The result is we are forever joined to Christ. My hope is that this word this morning fills you with both gratitude and love, and with a sense of resolve to be ever faithful, no matter what, to the one who loved you, who loves you, and gives himself for you. As you say with St. Paul, "In all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.